sort of sums up what I think the new year is all about. I think he changed one or two words in it to make it fit the new year. You may have heard the poem, but the irony is everybody that went to the Christian school memorized the poem. And I've known this since I was in the seventh grade. Nail shaking her head, she knows the poem, when Brother Rollins gave this at Athens Bible School. It's about a child who hasn't done his homework and has messed it all up. And then it turns right around and talks about a life that is messed up. I came to my teacher with quivering lips, my work undone. Teacher, do you have another sheet for me? I've soiled this one. He took that old sheet, stained and blotted, and gave me a new one, clean and unspotted, and said, "Do better next time, my child." I came to my maker with quivering lips. My life, my year undone. Maker, master, do you have another year for me? I have soiled this one. He took that old year, stained and blotted, and gave me a new one, clean and unspotted, and said, "Do better this year, my child." That's the nature of God. And when I got to the back and thought I'd left that out, that just aggravated me so much. And I don't know if I feel any better because I tried to use it tonight and forgot it and messed it up. But I'm telling you, it's a great concept. See what we're going to do tonight. I thought we'd do questions and answers. And I started pulling up the questions from that we haven't answered in the past. You know we have four questions here and every one of them's on the same topic. It must be one that people really, really have an interest in them. And so we're not going to do questions and answers. We're going to renew that and start doing it again. But I want to deal with these four questions. There must be in the heart of this congregation some real misunderstanding and a craving to know about these things. Here it is. Do you have to have sins to be baptized? Jesus was baptized and he was sinless. Great question. Why was John baptizing people before Jesus died? When a person was baptized in a denominational church and wants to be in the Lord's church, does he or she have to be baptized again? And then the final of these questions. If you're baptized because the Bible commands it, but you don't believe that it is for the remission of sins, are you still saved? I find it remarkable that there's so much misunderstanding about the subject of baptism when the Bible, in reality, has a lot of clarity about it. And that's what I want us to do. I want us to just get it down to the bare facts and to just lay it out in a way that every one of us will be able to understand. Suppose you had never thought about the subject of baptism. Suppose you never heard denominational teaching about it. Suppose you knew almost nothing about it. And you came to the Bible and said, "I want to find out what the Bible teaches about this." And in developing this lesson, we're going to be answering almost every one of these questions. Some of them in a very, very specific way. If we talk about baptism, the first question that we need to ask is, what is it? What is baptism? And we answer that by saying, it's where you take water and do something with it. You start reading about baptism and you read that John was baptizing in the wilderness of Judea. He was baptizing at Enon near to Salem because there was water there. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? They commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When he was come up out of the water, behold, the heavens were open and the Spirit descended in the form of a dove. What is baptism? Baptism is that which concerns water. We don't know how you use it at all, and we haven't developed that, but you begin talking about the matter of baptism, and there are other times you'll read about other kinds of baptism, and not the one that we're focusing in tonight. Baptism involves water. And when you begin reading the New Testament, you'll not read about baptism in the Old Testament. It's not mentioned there at all. It's only when you get to the New Testament that all of a sudden, here is John, and John is baptizing people. And when they came to Jesus, and Jesus said, they asked him a question, Jesus said, well, let me ask you a question. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from earth? And you and I need to understand that the baptism that John instituted did not find its origin in the ritualistic washings of Judaism. Otherwise, they would have said, we'll tell you exactly where it came from. John has just appropriated the baptism of Jewish washings. You'd be amazed how many individuals have that view of it, when the reality is that whenever they said, is the baptism of John, or is that from Jesus, or is that from heaven or from men? You'd be amazed how many people say, well, John just appropriated the baptism of Jewish washing. And so you and I need to understand what baptism was all about. It was something that had to do with water. That's the what. What is the how of baptism? What happens when you have the water? They went down both into the water, and he baptized him. What happened? You may have seen that painting from the Renaissance, the baptism of Jesus. And I'm not sure if you've ever seen that rather famous painting where John and Jesus are standing in the Jordan River. It's about knee deep. And John has one of those seashells, like a conch shell. And he's taking that and he's dipping down into the water and he is pouring that water on the head of Jesus. Is that what baptism is? The artists of the Renaissance did that and portrayed to the world what was the commonly held idea in Europe at that time, and that is that baptism involves sprinkling. The matter of pouring water on some individual, or the matter of, in latter times, of just taking the hands and sprinkling water on the heads of some individual. What was John doing when he baptized people? Think about John 3:23. John was baptizing at Enon near to Salem. Why? Because there was much water there. In a debate from a previous century, there was that individual who was trying to do the matter of justifying sprinkling. And he said, well, sure, John was over there baptizing because the people would be riding their mules and they would be over there and they'd need some water over there to water their animals, whatever animals they rode on to get over to that place. And then they'd need water to drink. And that's why John was over there. But that's not what John 3:23 says. In that debate, the man who was trying to justify sprinkling his baptism gave an answer as to why John might have been preaching over in that place. That's not what that verse says. That verse does not say that John was preaching at Enon near to Salem because there was much water, with the implication that then they'd have water for their animals and water for their own usage. The Bible does not say he was preaching there because there was much water, but he was baptizing there because there was much water. What does a baptism look like? Without ever going in to look at the Greek word, and you could do that in any dictionary that will define the origin of the word baptism, without ever going down that road, you would immediately read some verses in the Bible that says, they commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Both individuals went down into the water. In another debate from a previous century, the man says they were riding in their chariot, and the eunuch reached under the seat of the chariot, and he pulled out a pitcher of water, and he says, "Here is water. What hinders me to be baptized?" Implying that Philip was just had the water there and he could sprinkle water on his head. You know what's wrong with that? In that debate, the person said, "Let's look at the rest of that passage." He says, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you may." They commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into that pitcher of water. Isn't it remarkable? How if a person wants to prove something from the Bible, they can just twist it and distort it. And isn't it even more remarkable that God, in the very verse itself, often makes it impossible for that to be a truth? What is baptism? Therefore, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, 3 and 4, we are buried with Him in baptism. What's baptism? When there's water, when there's much water, what happens? We are buried with Him in baptism. Have you ever buried one of your pets? You know how to bury somebody? Somebody said, "I'm going to give you a secret treasure." You take it out and bury it in the backyard. What would you do? Everybody understands what a burial is. You take that and you put it in the ground and you cover it up. That's what a burial is. You know what baptism is? It's where there is much water and somebody is buried in that water. Well, that brings us to the third point about baptism. And that is, who is buried in the water? Well, the Bible's rather plain about that, is it not? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16. But go back to Acts chapter 8, where there were the two men riding in the chariot, and as they went on their way, they came to where the water was. That's indicative in and of itself. They didn't pull it out from under the bench. They came to the water, and the man says, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you can be baptized. If you believe with all of your heart, you can be baptized." And the man said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Who do you baptize? You baptize a person who believes in Jesus. I find it remarkable reading one account of somebody said, "The Bible is just so hard to understand." When you read about this, they commanded the chariot, Acts chapter 8, they commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, and he baptized him. And somebody said, "I cannot figure out who baptized who." Well, that's not all that hard to figure out, is it? If I tell you that the long-haired hippie cut the hair of a bald-headed man, that he cut his hair, could you figure out who got the haircut? Why, sure, the man who needed the haircut. He's the man who got the haircut. you and I need to understand that the individual that got baptized that day was the individual who needed to be baptized. Who do you baptize? Somebody who is a believer. You know what that does? That in and of itself rules out the possibility of baptizing a baby. What hinders me to be baptized? If you believe with all of your heart, you may. Does a baby believe? Oh, no. A baby cannot believe. Why? Doesn't have the capability of doing that. Furthermore, he could not verbalize his faith at all. A baby cannot do any of that. Then how on earth would anybody ever decide that you would immerse a baby or even sprinkle water on a baby? If you believe, you may. Whatever hindered that man in the chariot from being baptized, and that is him not having faith, that's the very thing that would hinder the baptizing of a baby. But there's a fourth element of that. And that is the why of baptism. Why were people baptized? I know what people say in our own day. Some people say that the purpose of baptism is so that there can be a promise from the parents of that baby that is being baptized. There is that promise that that baby is going to be raised in a godly way. Is that the purpose of baptism? What's the why of baptism? Another individual says, it is the announcement to the world that one has taken a stand for righteousness. It's an announcement to the world that I am a child of God because of the commitment that I've made in my life. Is that the purpose of baptism? One story in the Bible will answer that abundantly clear. And that is the story of the baptism of Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, we read the purpose of John's baptism, and that is John was baptizing at Enon near to Salem. John chapter 1, verse 4 says that John was baptizing in the Jordan for the remission of sins. Now you read Matthew 3. The same John is in Matthew 3. The Bible says, beginning in verse 13, that when Jesus came from Galilee down to Jordan where John was, he came to be baptized of John. Jesus walked 35, 40 miles just to be baptized. And when he arrived there, John forbade Jesus, saying, I need for you to baptize me. What does that mean? Why on earth would John say to Jesus, I don't want to baptize you, if the purpose of baptism is to announce to the world that I am a child of God, when the very child of God, the only begotten Son of God, was standing there? And the purpose of baptism is to let the world know that I'm a child of God. And John says to Jesus, I am the one that needs to be baptized, not you. That'd be a denial of the deity of Jesus. Why would John refuse to baptize Jesus? There's only one answer. The why of baptism is for the remission of sins. Now put that in the context. Sinless Jesus came to be baptized, and John refused to baptize sinless Jesus. That, by the way, is why you couldn't baptize a baby. Somebody asks you to baptize a baby. No, you can't do that. Why? Because you cannot baptize that which is sinless for the remission of sins. John recognized who the sinner was at that time and at that place. John knew who the sinner was. And that was John. Jesus is sinless. And so John says, I cannot baptize you because you do not have sins. You do not need to be baptized. And John forbade him, saying, I'm not going to do this. You need to baptize me. I am the sinner. And the remarkable thing is, Jesus said, suffer it to be so now. Allow it. For it behooves us to fulfill the righteousness of God. Baptism was something that God commanded. Baptism was a part of that which was being introduced into the world that was going to become such a vital part, having been introduced by John even before Jesus died, so that whenever Jesus died, people would understand what baptism was all about, because all of the individuals in that area had heard of baptism. In fact, John chapter 4 says that Jesus baptized even more people than John did. We overlook the baptism that Jesus did. John baptized all of the people that were there. All of Jerusalem and Judea came out to Jordan to be baptized of John. And Jesus baptized even more than John did. And so here's John refusing to baptize Jesus. Why? Because you do not have sin. You are not a subject of baptism. Why do you baptize somebody? It is because of the remission of sins. And Jesus said, but there's a difference in being baptized for the remission of sins and being baptized to fulfill the commandments of God. I want you to think about that. Because of popularly held belief in our day, even sometimes among members of the church, is that one does not need to know that baptism is for the remission of sins just as long as he's doing it because God told him to do it. Well, that's not where Jesus is. Jesus recognized there was a difference in being baptized to fulfill the righteousness of God and being baptized for the remission of sin. John recognized it. Jesus recognized it. I just don't understand why people today cannot recognize the difference in a baptism that was for the remission of sins and the baptism that was not for the remission of sins. The question asked, why was John baptizing people before Jesus died? Because they needed to be baptized. Why was Jesus baptizing people before Jesus died? John chapter 4 says you baptize more than John did. Why? Because they needed to be baptized. That brings up the question, do they need to be baptized again? All of those people that were baptized by John and then those that were baptized by Jesus, did they need to be baptized again? Well, the answer to that would have come out very easily. On the day of Pentecost, if you'd been there that day and you had said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And that's exactly what you had done. You had heard Jesus preach repentance. From that time, Jesus went into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you'd been in Galilee, you would have heard Jesus preaching repentance. And since Jesus baptized more people than John did, you would have been baptized because Jesus told you to do it. On the day of Pentecost, Peter says, repent and be baptized. I wonder what question you would have had. You would have had the question, do I need to be baptized again? And you know the answer to that? It is whatever Peter gave in answer to that question. But I do know that later, I do know that more than 20 years later, the baptism of John was not effective. Go back to the chart and add one other word down on the bottom of that chart, and that's the word who, and put it in all caps in your mind. Who told me to be baptized? When you read the New Testament, you'll read over and over again, in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Over and over again, as you read about baptism, you run across the authority behind it. You see, John's question, or Jesus' question about the baptism of John, did John, was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? The people on the day of Pentecost knew why they were being baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Who is the authority behind me being baptized? You do it in the name of Jesus. That's the who of it. That is the authority of it. But briefly, look in Acts chapter 19. 20 years after Pentecost. The latter part of Acts chapter 18 tells us of a man who was named Apollos. And Apollos was eloquent in the Scriptures, but he knew only the baptism of John. He did not know about the fact that there was New Testament baptism. Here is a man who had been touched either by John or by some disciple of John who had taught him about the baptism of John the Baptist. And by the way, this answers the question, when should a person be baptized again? The questioner says, if I was not baptized for the remission of sins, am I saved? The question was, if I'm baptized in a denominational church, do I need to be baptized again? The answer is found right here in Acts chapter 19. Because in Acts chapter 19, we read about Paul arriving at Ephesus. And when he arrives at Ephesus, he finds certain disciples there, and he knows that they have believed. He knows that they have been baptized. Look in verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit when you believed? We've not heard that there is a Spirit. Unto what then were you baptized? Paul meets some people who had believed and had been baptized. But whenever they said, we don't know what you're talking about the Holy Spirit, he says, wait a minute, what baptism did you have? And here's their answer, the baptism of John. And so Paul says, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Now when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why were these people baptized the second time? Well, they've got 4 out of 5 exactly right, do they not? Were they individuals who had water involved? Did they have the what? Yes. Did they have the how? Yes. Buried in water? Who were they? They were individuals who were believers, even believers on the Jesus that was just about to come, because that's what John was saying. He's coming, right? I'm the forerunner of the one who is coming. Were they baptized for the remission of sins? Yes. Then why were they baptized the second time? And the answer is the authority. John did not baptize in the name of Jesus. Oh, it was from heaven, but it was not the baptism commanded by Jesus. The point I'm trying to make is, 4 out of 5 is not enough. How do I know that? Because these people who had 4 out of 5 had not had Bible baptism. Let's draw a scenario. Suppose somebody uses water and they bury in water the person that is to be baptized. They say, I'm doing this for the remission of sins. They say, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. That's 4 out of 5. But the one they bury is a baby. I met a lady in New Zealand who immersed her own infants. When those children grow up, have they had Bible baptism? No. Why? 4 out of 5 is not enough. They've not had Bible baptism. Well, suppose you took an adult who is a believer in Jesus, and you use water, and you tell that adult that this is for the remission of sins, and you say, I'm doing this because Jesus commanded it, but you sprinkle water on their head. Is that a baptism? No. 4 out of 5 is not enough. I read once of a person who baptized using rose petals. Took a rose and broke up the petals that were on it and used that instead of water and sprinkle rose petals. Now let's take that and go from just a few rose petals to a baptistry filled with rose petals. Here's a person that is a believer in Jesus and we bury them in rose petals for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus. Have they been baptized? No. Why? 4 out of 5 is not enough. Well, suppose I took a believer and buried that believer in water, and I'm saying this, I'm doing this because Jesus commanded it. But it has nothing to do with the forgiveness of your sins. Do you know that's the nature of denominational baptism? They teach an individual, you say a sinner's prayer. You verbalize that you believe in Jesus and you believe in the mercy of God. And you say to that individual, at that time you are a saved individual. And so that individual is not baptized for the remission of sins, for he has already been taught that his sins were forgiven when he said the sinner's prayer. Has he been immersed in water as a believer in the name of Jesus? Yes. But it is not for the remission of sins. 4 out of 5. Is not enough. What does the Bible teach about baptism? That a person who uses water, buried in water, as a believer for the remission of his sins in the name of Jesus, that's the person that has been baptized. And to do 4 of the 5 and leave out any one of them is not enough. Maybe that clarifies it. Do you have to have sins to be baptized? Yes. Why? Baptism is for the remission of sin. Then why was Jesus baptized? Not for the remission of sins, but to fulfill the righteousness of God. If you're baptized because the Bible commands it, but you don't believe that it is for the remission of sins, are you saved? No. Why? Four out of five is not enough. The one about why was John baptizing people before Jesus died? For the same reason that Jesus baptized people before they died. And when a person's baptized in a denominational church and wants to be in the Lord's church, does he or she have to be baptized again? If he's not been baptized the first time scripturally, he's not been baptized at all. I remember as a child when there'd be baptisms at church. And we'd go down down to the creek. We didn't have swimming pools. We'd go down to the creek to baptize or to swim in the creek. I baptized tons of people. I could just walk up behind somebody and take my hand and put it on their chest and take my right foot and kick their feet out from under them and say, "I just baptized you." I baptized tons of people in that way, playing in a pool, in a creek. That's not Bible baptism. Baptism is where a sinner, recognizing his sins, is asking God to save him. If that's not a part of it, then it's not baptism. An illustration. What's the purpose of the Lord's Supper? Why do I eat the Lord's Supper? The biblical answer is to discern His body. But what if I break the bread and drink the cup and I'm not even thinking about the body or the blood of Jesus? I'm not thinking about the purpose of this. I'm just doing it because Jesus commanded me to eat bread and to drink the cup. Have I observed the Lord's Supper? Oh, outwardly. But if I've not discerned the Lord's body, the Bible says that doing the action brings about damnation because I didn't have the Bible purpose behind it. If there's the purpose of the Lord's Supper, and that is to discern the Lord's body, and to do the act without the purpose is not acceptable to God. Then the same would be true of the Lord, of baptism. Baptism is where a sinner arises and is baptized, washing away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I want to clarify the illustration I used before. When I got to the end of it, it just didn't fit about who baptized or who cut whose hair. Can I say that one more time? The long-haired hippie and the bald-headed barber went into the barber shop and he cut his hair. Who got the haircut in the barber shop? The one who needed to have his hair cut, and that is the long-haired hippie. The same thing is true in reference to that Ethiopian. He was the one who needed to be baptized. He was the one who received baptism. A lot of questions about it. But a study like this will enable us to talk to others about it. And now let's get to that part of our service where we sing the invitation song. If you need to be baptized into Christ tonight, you could be baptized because as a believer, you can come and be buried in water for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus. If you're an unfaithful Christian and need to come home, this invitation song is also for you. How can we help you? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing? Will you come?